Welcome to The Social Contract, a Commander podcast. I'm Mike Ullman, and joining me is my co-host, Alex Lapp. Alex! What's up, man?
Not too much, Mike. Happy to be here, although I am a little bit worried about you. I mean, are you okay?
Yeah. I'm not going to say recovered, but I've managed.
We're playing hurt. we are so happy with this Doctor Who set.
Yeah.
Because we have now had in excess of 40 cards in the 99 that we talked about, and we had to split that into two episodes.
Boom, boom.
That hopefully you have already enjoyed, or maybe you just jumped straight to this one. I don't know.
Could be.
And in this episode, we're going to talk about all those commanders in Doctor Who, and not just any old commander, and not just like, oh, this commander could win me the game. No, we're talking about the social commanders with the politics, the group hug, group slug stacks, all that good stuff, symmetric effects that we love. We know you love it because you're listening to us. And Mike, we have some great commanders to talk about today.
We do. We have a lot of cards that are really cool about interacting with the table. And if you want to interact with us, there's a couple of different ways that you can do so. In the show notes, you'll be able to get a link to our Discord. There you can meet with a whole lot of like-minded people who just want to try and enjoy the game as much as possible. And that also means having other people enjoy the game as much as possible. Collective good experience for everybody. That's the social contract way. The other way you can support the actual show itself, if you have the means and you have the desire, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/socialcontractEDH or search for The Social Contract in the search bar at their homepage. From there, there's many different tiers that you can support the show, keep the lights on, and to show us that you're happy with the kind of content that we're putting out there. That said, let's put out some content. Alex, what's our first blue commander?
Well, Mike, our first blue commander, and I think we'll get right into the rules after we talk about it, is Adric. Mathematical Genius,
okay,
which is one in a blue for a legendary creature human artificer, and it has the activated ability, two in a blue, and tap. Copy target activated or triggered ability you control. You may choose new targets for the copy. Love to see it. Very nice. It also has the activated ability Ultimate Sacrifice. Pay one in a blue, sacrifice Adric, and counter target activated or triggered ability.
That is
cool. Now we're cooking. It also has the brand new keyword Doctor's Companion. You may have two commanders if the other is the Doctor.
Okay.
Before we talk about what Adric does, let's briefly talk about this.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit less intuitive than you might think. You're like, well, come on, it's just partner. Not quite.
Okay.
So we know about partner, right? Any commander that has partner on it can share the spot. It can be one of two commanders.
They can be
as long as both of those commanders have partner.
Okay.
And we've also seen partner with. Right, where as long as they have partner with the other one, like Piran Tuthi, they can both be your commander, but you can't change either one out. They're locked in. And then we also have Friends Forever, which is partner, but it's locked into a small ecosystem. They didn't want to like open that up.
Sure.
But now we have another one, which is Doctor's Companion. And this is very flavorful, right? Because if you've seen the show Doctor Who, you know that whenever we get a new doctor, that doctor is, you know, going to go about their adventures, but they can't do it alone. They're going to tap just normal, regular, workaday people and bring them from, just pluck them from their normal lives and take them into a galaxy, universe, time travel spanning adventure. And then we get to have that contrast of, oh, we have the Doctor who, you know, is very knowledgeable and is the main character. But then we also have these companions who are just normal people like us, just, you know, experiencing things that humans were never meant to experience, but they're just having the time of their lives. Anyway, so that's what's happening with Doctor's Companion. And when we talk about the actual mechanics of it, the first thing we want to talk about is something that has maybe a lot of judges and players kind of furrowing their brow, Mike. And that's the new creature type, Time Lord. Now, me just saying that, you've been like, what's the big deal? It's creature type Time Lord. Yeah, huh. Well, it's not hyphenated. It's two words. The creature type is Time, Space,
Lord.
Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean that it has two creature types, Time and Lord. That doesn't mean that you can name the creature types Time or Lord for the purposes of naming a creature type. It just means that it has the two-word creature type Time Lord. This is the first time this has ever happened.
Okay.
And I have a feeling that if they could have avoided it, they would have, but that this may have run into maybe some IP issues where, like, listen, there's no hyphen in the word Time Lord. You better make it two words. Figure out how to do it. And they're like, okay, buddy. So that's how that happened. If you see Time Lord on a creature type, it is a Time Lord. It is not a Time and Lord.
Sure, which matters because there's other lords.
Well, that's the thing, is there used to be cards that had Lord in their type line. Mm-hmm. Those have all been eroded.
Right.
None of those cards have Lord in their type line anymore, although they could still have it in their name. Lord is not a creature type.
Right.
Although in the past it was.
So okay. There used to be Lords, now there's not, but there is Time Lords, but no Time or Lord.
So a lot of the commanders we're going to talk about today are Doctors, and as you may or may not know, there are many different Doctors in the world of Doctor Who, because the Doctor is an immortal Time Lord who, rather than dying, will regenerate and basically become a new person, but still in, you know, still occupying the same spot. Different personality, different appearance, different actor playing the character, and effectively a new arc of the show.
Right.
And for all of those that we'll talk about today, any Doctor commanders we talk about, they will all have at least the two creature types, Time Lord and Doctor.
Okay.
The creature type Time Lord and the creature type Doctor. If and only if they have the exact two creature types, Time Lord, Doctor, then they're eligible to be a Doctor's Companion commander.
Okay.
If they have any other creature types, for example, if they're a changeling, you might think, ooh, changelings are Time Lords and Doctors. No. It can only be exactly a Time Lord Doctor. Okay.
Got it.
I realize that was a lot, but that's going to apply to almost every card we talk about today.
It's weird.
So if you're trying to figure out how, like, what can I pair with my Doctor's Companion? If it's a Time Lord Doctor, the answer is yes.
Okay. Got it. Weird.
Let's talk about Adric.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody that has Do a Thing Again on the card is a good card.
I love effects that allow me to get multiple activated abilities or triggered abilities. Like, you constantly hear me talking about Illusionist Bracers, which mm-hmm. is one of my favorite cards, because there are so many activated abilities that because they have tap on them, they're basically saying, only do this once a turn, buddy. Don't try anything funny. But if you do it again, and maybe they have some weird cost in the, you know, maybe not just tap. Maybe they have a cost like discard some cards or sacrifice something you control. When you copy an ability, you don't have to pay the cost again. You just get the benefit again.
Yeah. So the benefit of, okay, 3 mana, do it again. Always good. Activated or triggered. Love that too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
versatile.
So being able to do it all across. That should be enough. But the fact that you can counter target activated or triggered ability by sacrificing.
I know.
It's good. It's good. And it doesn't require a tap or anything like that. So it's not something you have to hold up other than the 2 mana. But this is mono blue. There's a decent chance you're holding up 2 mana anyway, just to actually hold up 2 mana.
Oh, absolutely. Like, you can activate that copy effect. It's tapped down. And then later on, this is a rattlesnake. Counter target activated or triggered ability. Let's talk about some of the things that could counter, right? It can't hit mana abilities because those don't use the stack, but it can hit basically everything else. It can hit Planeswalker loyalty abilities, Mike. And let me tell you, one of the biggest blowouts comes from when a player just so confidently ults their Planeswalker minus 12 and they're like, haha,
right.
Now everything is bad for you and I win. You're like, counter target activated ability.
Mm-hmm. It's good. I like Adric a lot.
This is very cool. Now, I've heard, I have not personally seen the episodes that Adric is in,
sure.
But from what I've heard, people don't like this representation of him, which is fair.
Okay.
I think that as a card design, this is great, though. I think this has a lot of potential.
Fair enough.
Honestly, this is a cool enough idea that, you know, I mean, you don't have to do it this way, but you could play this as your solo commander,
yeah.
And I don't even think it would be that bad.
No, mono blue commander that says I'm a human artificer too. Decent things that you can synergize with.
Oh yeah.
And just okay. Oh, yeah. I'm just playing Illusionist Bracers the card as my commander.
And it's one of those low cost commanders, right? We talk about commanders that they have a sacrifice on them, or they have some way that thing happens when they die. Like, that's great. But how much value are you actually going to get out of that? I don't know, Mike. If you sacrifice him and then cast him again for 4, that's not so bad.
Right.
Even if you cast him again for 6, that's not so bad. But more than that, if you make copies of him with non-legendary copy effects like Helm of the Host or Spark Double, things like that, well, now you have many... You have a coven of rattlesnakes right. all ready to bite. No one's allowed to do anything unless they check with Mike first.
It's not bad. It's not bad. I remember you saying that the companion is usually like, you know, just a everyday person, kind of like us. Alex, the next one is a robot dog.
Yeah, that's not universal.
Okay, sure, fair right? enough.
It's, the show's been running for like 60 years.
I guess there's some exceptions. I won't hold you to it for all 60 years then, I guess. K9, Mark 1, blue, for a 1/1 robot dog, legendary artifact creature, with negative. As long as K9 Mark 1 is untapped, other legendary creatures you control have Ward 1. That's pretty cool. Static effect.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Affirmative. 1 and a blue. And tap. Target legendary creature can't be blocked this turn. Oh, ooh. Boise.
Ooh, look at that.
That's a good boy.
real quick, Ward says that if a spell or ability would target a creature with yep. Ward, you will counter it. Unless they pay that additional ward cost, yes. which in this case is one generic.
One generic on that. That's pretty good.
And it also is Doctor's Companion. Yeah,
that's pretty good. It's pretty straightforward. Hey, you can tap it and make a legendary creature unblockable, or you don't tap it and it's a 1/1 that makes everything else legendary creature wise.
And just like yeah. Adric, this is so low to the ground yep. that even if you lose it twice, it's only a 5-drop at that point.
Right.
So it's okay if this gets blown out.
Right. And I mean, again, it's also another thing where people are going to, do you really want to pay that extra tax, or do you just want to try and keep this 1/1 out of the way? So
exactly. I mean, we talk about Ward, and like, there are some really powerful Ward effects that are like, wow, I want to think twice before I do that. But even these minor ones that just say pay one additional mm-hmm. mana. Talk about removal spells. A lot of removal spells are 3 mana or less. Some of them are 1 cost. So for some of these, you're doubling the cost if you want to spend that removal spell, and that can really mess up people's pace.
Oh, sure. What's our next one here?
Yeah. Let's move on to Martha Jones. Martha Jones, for 2 and a blue, that's 3 mana total. For a legendary creature human cleric, she's a 3/2. Woman who walked the earth. When Martha Jones enters the battlefield, investigate. Okay. When you sacrifice a clue, Martha Jones and up to 1 other target creature can't be blocked this turn.
Interesting.
And Doctor's Companion. So you have an investigate unblockable deck that you can build out of this, Mike. I think that's really something.
That's pretty neat. I like... Wow, that is pretty neat.
Ninjutsu.
Yeah, and being able to do that... I mean, the fact that you get one a clue, the fact just...
You do get one right off the bat, but that's nice. You want to be able to make...
You're going to have to. Because otherwise, yes. Great, you can swing in once, hopefully. But other than that, this is a pretty cool card. 3/2 for 3 mana isn't too bad. Get a clue right off the bat.
And I think once we start talking about some of the doctors that we can pair with this, we can start talking about maybe some pairings we'll
right.
do if we wanted to make these. But for now, we'll just leave them
yeah,
there.
Yeah, no, that's a pretty good one. I like Martha Jones, and that's pretty good value right off. Yeah. Right off. Nissa of Traken, or Traken, and also it's not that Nissa, I promise. 3 and a blue.
No, that's not the same
yeah,
Nissa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 3 and a blue for a 3/4 human scientist. You have no maximum hand size. That's a decent start.
Not a bad sentence to
yep.
see.
It also has Sonic Booster. Whenever Nissa of Traken attacks, sacrifice X artifacts. When you sacrifice one or more artifacts this way, tap up to X target creatures and you draw X cards. Holy
Whoa.
Cow. Why does this need to pair with anything?
Whoa. It doesn't. I mean, first, she has Doctor's Companion, so she can pair with any Time Lord Doctor.
Yeah.
But I think this is meant to synergize with clues, but
it doesn't need to.
It synergizes with treasures.
Yeah, treasures, clues, food tokens.
You're turning your treasures into drawing cards and tapping things down. I mean, you don't even have to do treasures, right? You can do any kind of artifacts. And, you know, lots of artifact decks are able to reanimate artifacts, or maybe they're tokens you don't care.
Academy Manufacturer, another card, that's the best. This is...
You copy it, the more exponential it gets.
It's just, this is just so good. Yeah. I understand for you to get a lot of value out of this card, a couple of things have to happen.
You need to be making a lot.
You have to be making a lot. You have to attack with something, which means you're potentially putting it at risk, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, blah, 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 blah. I don't care. Like, if you attack with this once and you sacrifice four artifacts, draw four cards, cool.
Let's talk about this, Mike, because we have a reflexive trigger here, which is great, because if we maybe use something like, say, Adric or an Illusionist Bracers, maybe not Illusionist Bracers, but something that copies triggers. When you sacrifice one or more artifacts this way, that is reflexive. So you don't have to hit the trigger at the sacrifice X artifacts part, which is great because you don't want to have to do that twice.
You can just do it at the secondary part.
So you can do it after you sacrifice those. Now you copy this trigger and you'll get tap up to twice X target creatures and draw twice X cards.
And I was literally talking about how, well, okay, let's downplay it a little bit because this is a really cool card and it's got really good blowout potential. But, like, you have to have a bunch of stuff available. I forgot about the tap target creatures part.
Tap target creatures, because, dude.
So, just doing that, it means that this is probably going to be protecting itself for the most
part. Oh, yeah. This is enabling an Alpha Strike. This is ending. I mean, this definitely has potential. Tapping things down and... And I think we had something in our 99 that was talking about getting rid of tap creatures or keeping them tapped forever, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there's... yeah, exactly. The permanent sleep effect with the stun counters and this kind of thing. But just even if the worst case scenario is, okay, great, I'm going to attack with this legendary creature. I am going to sacrifice this one clue token. Or I'm going to sacrifice this one food token, even better. I'm going to tap this thing that would block me and draw a card. If you do that every turn, it's still a good card. Just the no maximum hand size and the ability to eventually be able to hopefully do more of a big
The really neat thing about her move. Is I feel like she's supposed to slot into Clue Tifle because Clues and Investigate is a very important part of this set.
Right.
But she basically cracks the code on Clues. She doesn't need to do individual research. She can just pump these all into her enormous computer brain and be like, actually, I solved all of these clues at once for zero mana.
Yeah. And if you get the ability to, with a secondary card, tap those artifacts for mana and then sacrifice,
that's a good point. You got an Urza or something going on. Yeah. And now you tap them off for mana and then sack them off for artifact or for card draw. I think that my favorite kind, now I've not personally ever built a twin commander.
Sure.
But, I mean, one of the coolest things about a commander that is able to be a pair of two is when one of them is just on its own, this really cool deck building idea that you could make a deck out of on its own and it would be a cool deck.
Right.
And then you get to add a whole other deck on top of it if you want to.
Yeah. I hadn't made a partner deck before. And then I made the Jessica and Arden deck that I did because
yes,
the whole point of it was like, hey,
and those are partner with, correct?
Yeah. Just partner. So,
those are just partner.
Yeah. Okay. So with those, it's okay, cool. If either one of these is gone, that's fine. The main reason that I put them together is because I wanted to make a Boros equipment deck that did cool things. But the fact that they synergize is great. This card, 100% by its own, it absolutely can be by itself. I would almost look at this and just say, okay, great. I'm less concerned about what the other commander does, and I'm more concerned with what colors the other commander is.
Yeah, that's a good point, is you're adding on colors almost certainly.
And that's the only thing I'm worried about with Nissa here, because holy cow, that's such a cool effect by itself that's what I'm going to lean into, but... I don't know. I haven't
just a quick logistical note, and there are some little weird things that can happen with this. Obviously, if you have two commanders, you only have 98 in your 99.
Right.
Like we say 99, but really it's non-commander cards. So if you have two commanders, you have 98. Each of your commanders has its commander tax tracked separately.
Yep.
So you cast Nissa, and then your doctor dies, and you have to cast Nissa again. You only have to pay the commander tax on her an additional time, not... four extra, just two extra for her. And commander damage is also tracked separately.
Correct.
right? So if I hit somebody with Nyssa, I hit somebody with the Doctor, it's not that damage combined. It's each of them tracks separately. And lastly, if you have an effect that says if you control your commander, controlling either of your two commanders counts for that effect. And I know that Jessica has some things that maybe Jessica's will.
Sure.
You only have to have Jessica. You don't have to have Arden as well.
There you go.
Anyway.
Let's
move on to, yeah. To black.
Yeah. Visler Turlow. Visler Turlow? Doesn't matter. They're cool. 3 and a black for a 2/5 legendary creature rogue. Deal with the Black Guardian. When Visler Turlow enters the battlefield, you may have an opponent gain control of it. If you do, it is goaded for as long as they control it. Love that. At the beginning of your end step, draw a card. Then you lose life equal to the number of cards in your hand. It also has Doctor's Companion. So yeah,
this is immediately giving me Zansha.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, would you like a thing? It's cool. I promise. Attack other people with it. Okay.
And it'd be so cool to build your deck around this because you know you'd put that assault suit in there. You'd put a bunch of pump effects in there.
Holy cow.
This is such a cool idea for a commander.
Man. At the beginning of your end step, draw a card. Then you lose life equal to the number of cards in your hand. That's nuts.
Yeah, you can definitely work with that. You don't even have to be running a life gain deck. You can run the effects whenever you lose life. XYZ happens.
Yeah.
Each opponent loses that much life. You can have that. There's like a blood fountain whenever you pay life. First of all, you're not even losing that much life for the most part.
I don't know, man.
You're
that's a decent amount.
I don't know. Maybe you'll die and it'll be your fault and that'll be okay.
Well, that's here. I almost want to do a weird blink deck with this and try and match it with those colors because it's whenever they enter the battlefield. So whenever they enter the battlefield, I'm just going to have somebody else gain control of it and I'm going to start having them take some damage and like a weird blinky kind of reverse slug.
I mean, you don't even have to, you could make those copies of them, legendary copies.
Yeah, that's fair.
And start passing those around.
Yeah. This is a cool card. I like that.
Yeah, I really like him. Now, that's it for black. Let's move on to red.
Yep.
Donna Noble is 3 and a red for 4 mana total. Mm-hmm. Is a legendary creature human. She's a 2/4 with Soulbond.
Hey.
Oh, yeah. Soulbond means when you pair this, you may pair this creature with another unpaired creature when either enters the battlefield and they remain paired for as long as you control both of them. If you remember Time Stream Navigator. Anyway. Whenever Donna or a creature it's paired with is dealt damage, Donna deals that much damage to target opponent, Doctor's Companion.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So we're looking at Stuffy Doll here, right?
Yeah,
we're looking at hit myself and somebody else gets hurt. But because it's target opponent, I can really make some interesting decisions.
Who? That's yikes. So.
And also imbue another creature with that effect. So if there's just another creature that you pair this with that just incidentally, for some reason, damages itself, I mean, you got that value now.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out a way to make Jared Carthalion a Time Lord Doctor. Just because.
Well, turn it into a changeling.
Yeah, that's
a
Time exactly. Lord Doctor. No, that's pretty cool. I like that as an effect.
Although she can soulbond with anything. She doesn't have
to soulbond exactly. With a doctor. It's not Doctor's Companion, or it's not Doctor's Soulbond. So that's pretty solid as far as an effect.
It is solid.
And then, yeah, you can do a ton of, you know, truly evil things and just, okay, great. I'm going to put a Basilisk Collar on Donna Noble. Don't do 10 damage to my stuff.
Well, Basilisk Collar is Death Touch.
Oh, Death Touch. Right.
You think the Grafted Exoskeleton?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
That'll give her that infect.
That's pretty nuts all on its own. I mean, that's cool. It's a good defense mechanism.
You're right. Well, somebody just smacked my Donna in the face, so who's going to pay for that?
Yeah.
But, Mike, you smacked your own Donna in the face.
Details. Not bad.
Let's move on to green.
Leela, Savateen Warrior, 3 and a green for a 3/3 human warrior, legendary creature. Whenever an opponent draws a card, except the first one they draw on each of their draw steps, put a +1/+1 counter on Leela, Savateen Warrior, and Doctor's Companion. Great. I'm going to encourage lots of people to draw stuff.
Absolutely. You and I, when we make decks, I have a lot of yours and a lot of mine. We're going to make our opponents draw cards.
This man,
they're not going to have an option as to whether they draw or not.
That's going to be big.
We're
going to
pump her up.
That's going to be big. If you have
she's going to get big.
If you have no other effects other than like a Rites of Flourishing, and that's it. Great. This is
Yeah, by the time the turn passes, she's a 6/6.
Yeah, this is gaining 3 power and toughness each turn without any other effort whatsoever.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not just that she gets +1/+1. You put a counter on her.
Yeah.
So now you have all that +1/+1 counter synergy.
Yeah, that's very good. Holy cow. That's it. we could talk about cards till we're blue in the face, but that's just a cool effect. Decent amount.
Those are our mono colors.
Yeah, that's it for the Woo Berg of what we're talking about.
Mike,
today.
Let's get into the meat and potatoes. Let's start talking about some Time Lord doctors.
Yeah.
You know, the people who were supposed
to be. The people that are all on these Doctor Companions things.
The 11th Doctor, who I think is many people's favorite Doctor, although I think everybody has their own favorite. Matt Smith plays the 11th Doctor. Mm-hmm. 1 white, blue, 3 mana for a legendary creature, Time Lord Doctor. I am talking. Whenever the 11th Doctor deals combat damage to a player, you may exile a card from your hand with a number of time counters on it equal to its mana value. If it doesn't have suspend, it gains suspend. And then it has 2 generic target creature with power 3 or less can't be blocked this turn. Mike, does this creature have power 3 or less? It's a 3/2. I feel like it does, in fact, have power 3 or less.
Sure do.
So that you could pay 2 and make this creature unblockable. And then you get that suspend trigger, but also can't be blocked this turn. Let's briefly delve into this. If you make this decision, which you would have to prior to the declare blocker step, mm-hmm. because once that's happened, it's become blocked. It's too late now.
Right.
As long as you do it at any point before that, anywhere in your turn, doesn't have to be during the combat phase. That is, at that point, locked in.
Okay.
It doesn't say target creature can't be blocked this turn as long as it has power 3 or less. It has target creature with power 3 or less, one entity, mm-hmm. can't be blocked this turn. That means that you only have to have it be a 3/2 at the moment that this goes on the stack and resolves.
Yeah.
After that has resolved, it is now unblockable this turn, and you can do anything to it.
Yep.
You can double its power, pump it, triple it, doesn't matter. Now it's unblockable, and you can make it into anything, Mike.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. I love the suspend and the exiling things and turning them into suspended cards based off of different stuff. This one being essentially a weird Atali, where I'm gonna attack, I'm gonna do damage. Great. Now I'm gonna take this card, I'm gonna put it in over here. It's got suspend. Ta-da. That's pretty neat.
Well, I mean, that's all great and fun personal value for us, but let's talk about why we have it included here.
Well, it says target
and that's
creature.
Because this
doesn't say you control. Yeah, 100%.
Exactly. This activated ability, which does not require you to tap down the doctor, for 2 mana, any target creature power 3 or less can't be blocked. Mike, I have a feeling that some deals could be made with this.
Not only could deals be made with this, and I get where you're going. I look at this commander, and all I see is, ooh, I'm going to make a ninjutsu doctor. That's all I'm going to do.
So much ninjutsu.
That's all it's going to be. Ninjutsu doctors. Great.
Ninjutsu doctors.
Ninja doctor. Go. And just, okay, this is unblockable. This
but
is unblockable.
Dr. Ninja.
This is unblockable. That's very cool. I like this effect a lot.
Very cool idea.
The next one, we're going back further. The second doctor. 2 and a white and a blue for a 2/4 Time Lord doctor. Players have no maximum hand size. That's cool.
That is cool.
How civil of you. At the beginning of your end step, each player may draw a card. Each opponent who does can't attack you or permanents you control during their next
Mike.
Turn. Yay!
And it's a 2/4. Mike, wow.
Hurry value!
Yeah, so we're getting that Orzhov Advocate.
Yep.
We're getting that Folio of Fancies, Anvil of Bogardon. Players have no maximum hand size. At the beginning of your end step, each player may draw a card. Okay.
Cool.
Why wouldn't they?
Have fun.
Because if they do, they can't attack you or permanents you control, which includes planeswalkers and battles. That's why it says permanents.
Yep.
Now we have that battle card type during their next turn, which is just great.
Yep.
I think that this is probably our group hug commander of the set. I think this is really, and you
sure.
can pair this with any of the companions and really make an interesting deck, Mike.
It's very cool as far as an effect as it, I love the idea of just building around commanders where it's not just a snowball effect. It is an anvil from the sky where there is no reason for opponents to not take this deal.
Unless they are in planning to attack you right then and there, in which case they've just telegraphed that to you, Mike.
Right. And the other part of it is the only reason to attack you is either A, you're completely open.
Or they think they'll win.
Or B, you've been you've become a threat to them winning the game. Cool. I just telegraph it all, you know, and that's pretty cool as far as a, you know, it's not a crazy amount of value.
No, this is very modest, but it's still, it's giving you great information. Players have no maximum hand size. We love that effect. That is so cool. Very few cards have that effect, Mike.
Yep. And my favorite thing about it was the idea of, okay, players have no maximum hand size. So I'm going to be putting a lot of cards into people's hands.
Oh, very much so.
All the time. And then I'm going to get rid of my doctor somehow. I'd be like, all right, great.
No, even better than that. Come on.
Your hand size is 30.
Pair this with a red partner, run Vicious Shadows. And now everybody's full grip of hand is going to be just deleting them.
You got that. You got Folio of Fancies to try and get a lot of cards in. You got a whole bunch of things. I love taking away the maximum hand size.
Yeah, and then they're just hosed.
It's like, all right.
You basically pulled the...
All right, great. You got 30 cards in hand. Hope you can use a lot. Yeah. but not. All you're doing is just removing the extra that you get.
Oh, I know. Now you'll but have they've to play become fair. Accustomed to the luxury, haven't they?
Yeah.
Let's talk about the seventh doctor, right? Seventh doctor is a 3 white-blue. Now, most of these doctors are Azorius. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that design decision, but that's what they've done. So for 5 mana, 3 white-blue, legendary creature, Time Lord Doctor, to 3/6. When the seventh doctor attacks, choose a card in your hand. Defending player guesses. Oh my. Whether that card's mana value is greater than the number of artifacts you control. If they guessed wrong, you may cast it without paying its mana cost. If you don't cast a spell this way, investigate. Okay, well, we were just talking about another really cool effect that has this Sphinx Typal kind of a guessing game style effect, that has this Lyra's Pendulum effect. And this is another kind of gambit, Mike. I think it was the Toy Master's Toy Maker's Trap.
Yeah.
And this has, okay, you're going to choose a card in your hand. Defending player guesses whether that card's mana value, which is its total pips combined, generic and colored, is greater than the number of artifacts you control. So this kind of guess can swing wildly depending on how many artifacts you control and depending on what they think you have in your hand. Really making people think on this one. Mike, what do you think about this?
So here's the thing. What's the number? What's the good number that you're probably looking at here? Because I'm a little less excited about this one than the other ones we've talked about so far. Because it's more dependable. You have to attack with it.
Right.
And then it's, all right, I'm going to pick a card. Is it 3? Is it 2? Is it 5?
Bigger the mana value that you put in, the bigger potential upside.
Right.
But they're not guessing a number. They're guessing if it's bigger smaller than the number of artifacts you control.
Than the amount of artifacts that you have. And that's where I'm trying to figure it out.
If you have a lot of artifacts, you just might never be able to cast something bigger than that number. Or if you have very few, you might never be able to cast anything smaller.
So instead of doing what I think most decks are trying to do, where it's, what does the deck do? Okay, great. I want to do that as much as possible. Where this is, I think you want to have it to where, as far as artifacts are concerned, you're at a pretty steady amount at all times. Like, I don't want to have 10 artifacts out when I've got this. I don't want to have 7. I want to have, 4. I want to make it a difficult choice for people.
Well, that's the thing is, even if you don't get to do the thing, or if you do win but you don't want to cast it, which I don't know why you would do that, but if for whatever reason you choose not to cast the spell or you can't because they cast correctly, then you make a clue, which is not a lot of value, but it's a lot better than nothing.
Oh, for sure. It's just, it's I feel like a lot has to go right for this to go right.
That's fair.
Is where I'm saying. I do think it's a cool
I feel like
card.
You would play a lot
it's
of cool things idea. In this deck.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Okay. I do dig that. Good call. Next one. We're moving on to Dimir. Only one in here, and it's kind of creepy. The Master, Mesmerist. 2 blue, black for a 3/3 legendary creature, Time Lord Rogue. So different. Target creature, or you can tap the Master, Mesmerist, to make target creature and opponent controls with power less than or equal to the Master's power gain Skulk until end of turn and goad it. As a reminder, a creature with Skulk can't be blocked by creatures with greater power. Whenever a creature with Skulk deals combat damage to one of your opponents, put a +1/+1 counter on the Master and draw a card. Whoa!
It's very puppeteer energy, right? The Master is the one of the many big bads. It's the rival surviving Time Lord, and that matches or exceeds it. It's the Moriarty to the Sherlock Holmes, right?
Gotcha.
Now, because this is a Time Lord Rogue and not a Time Lord Doctor, this is not eligible for Doctor's Companion, which makes sense because the Master doesn't have companions.
Right.
But this, what an interesting combination of effects here. We got the Skulk, which makes it at least partially unblockable, depending on the power it has and the power that blocking creatures have. Right. It makes blocks more difficult. And then we have the Goad, so blocking would be something that might be necessary.
Right.
And whenever it punches through, so if you succeed in your machinations, you get a little reward. You get the Master gets pumped, and you get a card.
So, a couple things here. It doesn't say whenever a creature with Skulk your opponent's control. It says
that's true. You could run Skulk type.
So you could run Skulk creatures in your deck, and yes. it's not wow. So this could, even if you've only got like a couple, that's still a bunch of +1/+1 counters and a bunch of cards. The other part of this. It's not a sorcery speed ability. So, okay, target creature and opponent controls with power less than or equal to the Master's power gain Skulk until end of turn and goad it. Great. So it's a rattlesnake on its own as far as I'm going to make something attack.
Right, and as you continue to pump him, your available legal targets start to increase.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool.
It's a very interesting deck building idea. It is unfortunate that you can't partner with it, but I think that it kind of stands on its own.
Oh, yeah. No, this is... I don't know the card. Like it's one of those things. I think the cards that I like the most are the ones where if I see it as a commander, I go, I don't know what cards would go in that deck, but I want to build that deck.
I want to find out.
Right? And I don't know. Like, I don't have a short list of the cards that would go in the Master Mesmerist deck. But I know it would be a fun dig. You know,
yeah, that's I think that's the part of the joy of building and brewing is seeing something new like this, or at least new to us,
right?
And sort of puzzling out how you would make that deck. Very interesting stuff there. Let's move on to Rakdos.
Woo!
We got the Beast, Deathless Prince. I think it's literally supposed to be the devil.
Sure.
Because it's... It's a 2 black red. It's 4 mana for a legendary creature demon. It's a 6/6. Mm-hmm. So there you have it. When you cast this spell, gain control of target creature until end of turn. Untap it. It gains menace and haste until end of turn.
Woo!
The beast enters the battlefield tapped with 6 stun counters on it. If it would become untapped, remove a stun counter from it instead. Which makes sense. It's a 4 mana 6/6.
Sure.
Whenever a creature deals combat damage to its owner, untap the beast and draw a card. Interesting build path here, Mike. So, this is going to be a difficult trigger to get many times because blinking and reanimating won't work. It has to be cast. So that's very hard to get more than one of. You could, you know, copy it, but other than that, you would have to cast him again.
Yeah.
But you don't need that ability to make the rest of him function, right? You can still have this I guess you would call it threaten type or mind control type. Sure. Where you are stealing things, maybe with an insurrection or mob rule, and having it deal damage specifically to its owner, you're going to draw a card and start to try to untap the beast. Interesting idea here.
I'm trying to figure out what I'm missing, because what is the benefit of getting the stun counters off of this creature other than the fact that then you then have a 6/6?
Yeah, that's the thing, is that then you have a 6/6 that is, I mean, it is a 6/6 and it's your commander, so that's a 4-turn clock. And if you pump it, it becomes a 3-turn clock.
Yeah, and that's fine. It's just the entire thing that you're trying to do with this, as far as the stun counters, and I guess you have to put the stun counters on there because it's a 4-mana effect to basically do a threaten effect for a turn.
Yeah, this is a lot for 4-mana threaten, and you have a 6/6 body, and also you get to draw cards.
Right.
Well, yeah. So I guess you would call that its downside, as it were.
I guess. It's not bad by any means. It's just whenever it deals combat damage, or whenever a creature deals combat damage to its owner, you untap it and draw a card. Great. It feels close. It feels like it missed the mark for me, and I don't know if that's fair or not, because it's a cool concept. I'm trying to think of...
I'm imagining, like, a beast's apprentice or something, and all it has is whenever a creature deals combat damage to its owner, draw a card.
Right.
And it costs, like, 2 mana.
Sure. That's fair. Okay. Reasonable. What's our next card here?
Yeah, so we got the Dalek Emperor, which is a 5 black red for a legendary creature artifact Dalek. Uh-huh. And it has affinity for Daleks. This spell costs 1 generic less to cast for each Dalek you control.
Okay.
Other Daleks you control have haste. I'm starting to see a pattern here.
Yep.
At the beginning of combat on your turn, each opponent faces a villainous choice. That player sacrifices a creature they control, or you create a 3/3 black Dalek artifact creature token with menace.
That ain't bad.
Not bad there. I think this is very heavily leaning into Dalek typal. That said, you don't, strictly speaking, have to. Although you are heavily encouraged.
You're losing a lot of value.
You are losing a lot of value.
If you're not doing it. You could go
changelings.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's kind of where I'm leaning on this.
Right. Rakdos changelings.
Overall, that's not bad, though.
That's not bad. I like the villainous choice.
Yeah, that's a weird version of the first Shieldred. As far as I'm concerned, where it's, hey, you're all going to sacrifice a thing, or I'm going to get a thing. I kind of like that. Plus, them getting menace. Oh, wow. Okay. So at the beginning of combat on your turn, that's a lot of 3/3s potentially that you're making that have menace and haste.
It is. And it's especially villainous, right? You have this thing happening where if they don't give you the creature, they're sacrificing a creature, which is kind of breaking their ability to deal with multiple menace creatures, isn't it? Because you need a lot of blockers to deal with those.
That combined with the fact that depending on how early in the game you are, you can absolutely make some awesome deals with this. Hey, don't sacrifice your creatures. Give me some 3/3s. I'm going to go attack this person with 3/3s and a 6/6 this turn.
That's true. Now, if you don't make a deal, you have to be careful, because even if they have no creatures, they can still choose to sacrifice a creature and then nothing happens.
Yeah, 100%. But like it... Heck, if this is a make a 3/3 a turn, and one opponent sacrifices a creature,
whatever. It's not just a creature with menace; it's also an artifact.
Yeah, artifact, menace, and haste. That's pretty slick. And plus, you know what?
Plus,
this thing is basically
comes back
later. I was going to say this thing is basically immune to board, to targeted removal.
It is.
It's just board wipes that are the problem. Because you remove
this, oh no! All my Daleks are making this cost 2 mana. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. All right.
That's the nice thing about it is, right, that affinity effect, it's not only for that 5 generic cost, it's also going to apply to the commander tax if you're able to get it up that high.
No, I like this card. That's a cool concept. Last one in Rakdos, we have the Master, Gallifrey's End, 2 black red for a 4/3 Time Lord Rogue with Make Them Pay. Whenever a non-token artifact creature you control dies, you may exile it. If you do, choose an opponent with the most life among your opponents. That player faces a villainous choice. They lose 4 life, or you create a token that's a copy of that card. Huh.
Hi, Athreos.
Yeah. Athreos, except for specifically non-token and not the same kind of repeatable. I like that.
Well, Athreos can't really get tokens back either.
Right, but it just as far as a non-token has to die, and then you make a token.
It has to be an artifact creature.
Right. That's pretty...
So you would play artifact creature type. It's specific.
Yeah.
But I feel like that, I mean, you're probably going to at least start. People are just going to start losing the life, which you can take advantage
sure.
of. You can do things like wound reflection, and now they're losing double the
yeah,
life.
Yeah, yeah.
Things like that. Take advantage of whenever a player loses life. And eventually it's going to get to a point where they really don't want to lose any more life and they start giving you copies.
Well, you're in Rakdos too. So the amount of, hey, I'm just going to have people take damage on stuff.
Them.
Right.
Yeah.
I love the... See, in my first... this is why my brain is broken. My first thing went to value as far as like, oh, you know what I want to get? I want to get my Solemn Simulacrums out there. I want to get my... what is the... the one you sacrifice, it's a 2/2 that if you pay 3 and sacrifice it, you go get 2 basics.
Oh, is it the stag?
Yeah. But yeah, the stuff like that. I want my value cards.
Here's an interesting wrinkle here.
Yeah.
So you're choosing, quote unquote, an opponent with the most life among your opponents. Mm-hmm. So for the most part, unless it's at the start of the game or very close to it, there's only one option.
Yeah.
But that player is not just choosing whether they want to lose 4 life or give you a token copy. If that player doesn't lose the 4 life, they might get hit with this same choice again and again and again because they still have the most life until they decide to lose the life and all of a sudden it's not under their control anymore. It just adds this extra layer.
Yeah, it is a kind of cool concept. It feels like Fair Threos. Like, it's the fair version of Athreos. Where, hey, it has to be a certain type of thing that dies. You have to pick a certain person, and then they get to choose based off of that. And I kind of dig that.
Here's the other thing. It says, whenever a non-token artifact creature you control dies. That includes non-token artifact creatures that you have stolen from other people.
Oh, sure.
And now that's exiled, and you make a token copy of it.
It's pretty cool.
Lots of very Machiavellian. I really enjoy these master cards. Very cool design space here.
let's go to something that doesn't feel very masterful, but is cool.
Yeah.
Going into Gruul, Strax, Santarin Nurse. Yeah, sure. 3 red green for a 5/5 alien cleric with vigilance and trample. Oh boy. Coolest ability that I think we've read so far in these 3 episodes. Grenades. 2. And tap it and sacrifice an artifact. Choose a player at random. When you do, Strax fights another target creature that player controls. Cool. It's 5/5. That's fine.
Fun.
Glory of Battle. Whenever Strax deals damage to a creature, put a +1/+1 counter on Strax.
This is so Gruul.
This is fun. I like that a lot.
Very interesting design here.
Okay. Vigilance Trample 5/5 that gets +1/+1 counters when it deals damage to creatures. And it has the ability to fight creatures at random if you pay 2, tap it, and sacrifice an artifact. Huh. It's got a lot going on.
Yeah, you're choosing the player at random, but once they've been chosen, you'll choose the creature that you want to fight.
Right.
And fighting, again, is each of those creatures deals damage to the other equal to its power. Almost like they've met each other in combat, but it's not during combat phase. So things like First Strike and Double Strike, they don't apply because we're not in combat.
Right. Well, that combined with the fact that this is Vigilance Trample. So when you're attacking with this thing, you're not removing its second ability.
Exactly. You can swing in and then activate its ability.
It's got Trample, so there's a decent chance that it is going to get through some stuff completely.
To be careful, though, because it's going to have some damage marked on it then. And then if it fights, it could die from that.
So what I'm looking at more is I'm going to take my turn. I'm going to attack on my turn, and then I'm going to pass. And I'm going to let this be something that I'm activating on somebody else's turn.
Right.
And
because
I'm
the damage is removed after the end of each turn.
Right. This is a rattlesnake, but it's a rattlesnake with a randomizer.
Well, Mike, I know there's got to be some equipment and auras out there somewhere that say this creature, maybe just any effect, this creature deals X damage to any number of targets or deals one damage.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have a ton of plus one targets on him.
Or just turn this thing into a pinger.
Just turn it
bang,
into, yeah,
bang, exactly. Bang. That's pretty cool.
Very gruel.
Yeah, I want to get a first strike. That's what I want.
It won't help with the fighting, though.
Yeah, that's
Sergeant
cool.
John Benton, for one green and a white, that's three mana.
Moving on to Selesnya. Yeah.
Selesnya. For a legendary creature, human soldier, it's a 2/4 with trample and haste. Not a bad start there. Share intelligence. Whenever Sergeant John Benton deals combat damage to a player, you and that player each draw that many cards.
See, when you were talking about who's our favorite group hug commander, and you were earlier, I was scrolling around because I like to try and prepare myself for words that I don't recognize. Flump. This is my guy.
Flump is a word I don't recognize.
Yeah, that's fair. Sergeant John Benton is my dude. This
yeah,
is awesome.
I really wish that this had partner.
Oh, gosh,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, gosh. Anyway.
Yeah, 2/4, trample haste.
You and
so
that player
first turn
draw
comes out.
Cards.
Woo! Woo!
We're cooking.
I think the rule with this guy is that I'm gonna put it to a vote. Who wants to get hit?
That's the thing, is you just keep pumping him up and it's like, all right, who wants to take a hit? Guy's like, all his teeth are knocked out. You already have 10 commander damage marked on him. You're gonna hit him for another 10. Like, yeah, give it to me.
I mean, when we're talking about fun, I would literally just play this card. I would protect it somehow.
Yeah.
I would try and protect it.
Yeah.
Give it invulnerable. Great. All right, who wants
Everybody
to get
lives.
Hit? And then I'm making this deck combat tricks. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Just,
it's
all
like,
right,
oh, I'll agree to it. It's like, oh, well, now he's a 12-12 with double strike.
All right, giant growth.
Colossification.
Yeah, there you go. Who's wanting to draw? Oh, goodness.
Who wants to draw 15 cards and then they lose the game?
Yeah, yeah, that's fun.
This is such a cool card.
I like this a lot. It's a good value at the beginning, good friendship at the beginning, and then wah at the end.
Yeah, very nice.
Very cool. I like that. Anyway, nothing to do with your surprises. With you surprises me anymore, Doctor. That's funny because Sergeant, you're going to be making as many surprises as I possibly can manage. Cool. Moving on to Izzet. We've talked about River Song a couple of times here, but now it's her turn to actually be here. River Song, 1 blue-red for a 2/2 human Time Lord rogue. That's a lot.
It is. Although that's only
reverse.
Three types.
That's only three types. It's four words, three types. Meet in reverse. You draw cards from the bottom of your library rather than the
Ooh,
top. Okay.
Spicy.
Nice. Spoilers. Whenever an opponent scries, surveils, or searches their library, put a +1/+1 counter on Riversong, then Riversong deals damage to that player equal to its power. Whoa!
Ooh. Wow.
Okay.
This has given me, who's that black planeswalker who hates when people search their library?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, well, I was going to say that. There's the agent that hates it. There's a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
But holy cow.
But drawing cards from the bottom of your library. Mike, surveilling puts cards directly on the bottom of your library.
Yup.
And I think there's only one other commander in the game. I think it's a Rakdos commander that cares about bottom of library. And there are a lot of janky, just low-cost, cheap cards out there that nobody's playing that Riversong just turned into a deck type, especially in Izzet.
Yeah. No, it's very cool. And I mean, you tell me. Your collective, internal library of Magic cards is much better than mine. Are there a bunch of cards that you could put in here where I'm going to encourage other people to scry, surveil, or tutor?
Opponents scrying and surveil, probably not as much, but searching their library, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I think there's quite a few cards in blue and red and colorless that can do that, Mike.
And that's pretty cool. It's just like, hey, I'm gonna make you do it. That's pretty cool. I like that as a really
unique design for a commander.
I don't have an Izzet deck right now. I might be making one because River Song is pretty cool.
Very, very cool.
Why don't you talk to me about another doctor?
The 12th Doctor. It's a 3 blue-red. That's 5 mana for a legendary creature, Time Lord Doctor. This cool. one is eligible. Mm-hmm. The first spell you cast from anywhere other than your hand each turn has demonstrate. Yeah, I buried the lead, Mike. This is the group hug commander right
yeah, here. Yeah, holy the cow, we keep building. The first
spell you cast from anywhere other than your hand has demonstrate. Why are we so excited about that? What even does that mean? When you cast that spell, you may copy it. If you do, choose an opponent to also copy it. Mike.
That's very cool.
We were, when we reviewed, I think it was in Strixhaven, uh-huh. we had a demonstrate cycle. I think that is the first and last time that we had any demonstrate anything at all. And I was like, wow, these cards are super cool. I love these. I wish that there was something I could do with them. How about any card that you cast from anywhere other than your hand has demonstrate? So
right.
as long as you are able to either cast from the graveyard, from exile, from library, or you're suspending a bunch of stuff, most likely, I would say. Mm-hmm. You are getting double the value and also donating that same value to an opponent. Demonstrate is such a rich keyword that creates this incredible design space. And it also has whenever you copy a spell, put a +1/+1 counter on the 12th Doctor.
Just to keep it going. Just to keep it flariving.
Yeah. Wow. Mike, wow.
If we're casting from exile, here we go.
And this is eligible for Doctor's Companion.
Yeah.
Who do you put with this?
Man. Okay.
I mean, the Doctor's Companions that I've selected, I don't even think you need to pick a group hug or a political companion.
No.
I think at this point you just pair whatever works best with the 12th Doctor.
Well, something on cast, too. Because, hey, you know, I'll copy the spell. Or I'll demonstrate the
spell. You want something
that
helps you suspend, right?
Right. Holy cow. This is a pretty cool card.
Such a cool card.
Another I don't know what I'm putting in this deck, but I'd like to make it. Huh.
Wow. So cool.
Okay. Okay, we have to
Listeners,
move on.
Who would you pair with the 12th Doctor to make the interesting demonstrate deck? Let us know.
Yeah, I like that. We're gonna move on to Boros here with another Doctor, but this one isn't numbered. This is the War Doctor. 2 red, white for a 3/5 Time Lord Doctor. Whenever one or more other permanents phase out, and whenever one or more other cards are put into exile from anywhere, put a time counter on the War Doctor. Whenever the War Doctor attacks, it deals damage equal to the number of time counters on it. If a creature dealt this damage would die this turn, or if a creature dealt damage this way would die this turn, exile it instead.
Well, you missed a little bit there. It says equal to the number of time counters on it to any target.
Oh. Yikes.
So
it's a 3/5. It attacks. It does damage equal to the number of time counters on it to anything.
Yes. And if it would die, a creature would die this way. Exile it.
Yikes.
Whenever one or more permanents phase out and whenever one or more cards are put into exile from anywhere. So you can do that for your own stuff.
Yep.
Now, something like Teferi's Protection, unfortunately, I don't think... Now, obviously, it's a great card and it would go great in the deck.
Right.
But it doesn't have the synergy with this card because
it phases out as well, so it doesn't
exactly,
get to...
Exactly.
Yeah,
when the trigger resolves,
everything.
Nothing happens.
Huh. Yeah. But yeah, doing the things where you're phasing stuff out to blink it, you know, basically blink after an issue.
A lot of sagas doing some phasing.
Well, and then all of the stuff that red does where you're casting stuff, you're making things go into exile and casting it from exile.
Yeah, suspend, yep.
That's, wow, okay. Here's the thing. This doesn't have to get, like, this isn't something where you have to do a blowout and get real, real strong, you know, hey, I phased out 10 things, haha. This is something where it can just be cool by like, all right, great, there's 4 time counters on this thing. Cool. It's going to attack. It's going to deal 4 damage to something it's not going to be able to survive. It gets exiled. And you're attacking with a 3/5. That's not too bad.
The interesting thing here is that once you have a time counter on it, it is now eligible for time travel.
Yeah. Or proliferate anything.
Yes,
hey, we're going to add stuff.
Yep.
We're going to add stuff.
Yep.
Because you don't remove the time counters from it.
You do not. You don't like build up a resource and spend it. You build up a resource and tell people to... You know, feel the light, feel the power of the war.
Very cool. Okay. Okay, War Doctor. Let's move on to Simic with Dugan, Private Detective, 2 green blue for a star human detective.
What does that mean?
Yeah, well, we'll find out. Dugan's power and toughness are each equal to the number of cards in your hand. Oh, okay. Whenever Dugan enters the battlefield or attacks, investigate. Cool. So making a clue on entry and attacks. And then it has a very cool, ability. The most important punch in history. One and a green. You can tap Dugan, and Dugan deals damage equal to twice its power to another target creature. Activate only once.
Mike, the moment I saw this card, I'm like, this is Mike's, like, this is you all over, baby.
This is literally One Punch Man. What the hell is this?
It deals double its power. And that's the only time you can ever do, obviously, unless you blink it or copy it.
Right.
You get to do it again.
Oh my gosh. What is this, dude?
This is that Simic value, Mike. Now, fun rules time.
Rattlesnake.
Yeah, Rattlesnake. No kidding. This is the bee sting where they do it once and they die. Star. And then it has... what does that mean, Star? That means that its power and toughness are defined by a CDA, by a characteristic defining ability, which we see right here. Dugan's power and toughness are each equal to the number of cards in your hand. Why is that important? That means that regardless of what zone Dugan is in, the command zone, the graveyard, your hand, battlefield, that power and toughness is constantly being updated to be equal to the number of cards in your hand. So if there's anything that cares about power and toughness, maybe entering from another zone, you don't have to wait till this hits the field before that starts checking. That's checking everywhere, all the time, all at once.
Alex, I'm not going to lie to you, man. I didn't hear a single word that you said because I was too busy looking up what is the most important punch in history from Doctor Who. And
yeah, I haven't actually seen this episode.
It's one of the better things I've seen in a while. it's a lot of buildup, and then this is just...
Right up Mike's alley.
Holy
moly. The most important punch in history. You do a big hit once.
That's so silly.
Almost like kind of a fling.
A little bit. That's silly. I want my blink effect. That's so cool. Okay.
Such a cool commander. Let's talk about Davros, Dalek creator. Now, Mike, we have several Grixis commands.
Yeah.
This is the first one.
It makes sense, too. They all kind of follow a similar theme.
Grixis is the color of conniving.
Yeah, evil. Pretty much.
Yeah. Darbos Dalek creator is one blue, black, red, 4 mana for a legendary creature artifact alien scientist.
Okay.
It's a 3/4 with menace.
Sure.
At the beginning of your end step, create a 3/3 black Dalek artifact creature token with menace if an opponent lost 3 or more life this turn. Then, each opponent who lost 3 or more life this turn faces a villainous choice. You draw a card, or that player discards a card.
Huh.
Oh, ho, ho. This is giving me, like, evil Kaneos and Tiro.
Yeah. Kaneos and evil.
This is so interesting. So you're making that classic 3/3 Dalek artifact creature token with menace. Difficult to block, giving a lot of value. Only if an opponent lost 3 or more life this turn, which I have a feeling you would arrange.
No, I mean, got menace themselves, so decent chance you're going to be able to find somebody.
Yeah.
I think you're probably...
they're going to make a villainous choice.
Yeah, I feel like you're going to end up drawing a decent amount of cards off of this.
I think so, because why would they be willing to discard a card? Usually they won't.
Either completely full grip, or just, I don't care, I've got 6 lanes anyway.
Most of the time they're going to give you the card.
Yeah, well, that's pretty cool. I like that as a concept. I really want to talk about the next one, though, just because best card name in Magic, as far as I'm concerned, Missy.
Missy being the female master.
Yep. 3 blue, black, red for a 4/5 time lowered rogue. Whenever another non-artifact creature dies, return it to the battlefield under your control face down and tapped. It's a 2/2 Cyberman artifact creature. At the beginning of your end step, each opponent faces a villainous choice. Each artifact creature you control deals 1 damage to that opponent, or you draw a card and chaos ensues. What is that?
Wow, excellent question, Mike. Now, we may have to have a whole episode about this, because in this set, and actually in a couple of previous sets, they have created new Plane Chase cards.
Okay.
They've actually made quite a few for this set that are very interesting, you know, places and lands and worlds within the universe of Doctor Who. What does Chaos Ensues mean? That's a relatively new keyword that means the thing that happens when you roll the plane chase die and it comes up with the chaos symbol written on the plane chase card, that happens on the spot.
That's so cool.
So this is a plane chase commander.
Holy cow. I love it.
I know.
At the beginning of your end step, each opponent faces villainous choice. Okay.
Each artifact creature you control deals one damage to that opponent, which could be a not insignificant amount of damage.
Sure.
Or you draw a card and chaos ensues. Now, whether they're willing for that to happen is going to be changing dramatically based on what plane you're currently on.
Sure. Well, that combined with the fact that you're, even if you're not making a lot of artifact creatures yourself, things die. Great. You have artifact creatures.
If you're curious about plane chase, we have an old episode where we talk about commander variants. Maybe we can link that in the show notes. Yeah. But basically, plane chase can just slot into your normal commander game with very few changes other than it just adds some new wacky rules. So yeah. If you've never played plane chase before, look into it, give it a shot, and let us know, listeners, if you want us to do a review of all the plane chase cards that have been coming out in the past few years that we didn't talk about the last time several years ago.
It's pretty cool. I like Missy. That's awesome. We got two more. Do you want the next one or do you want the last one?
You take this one. I'll take the last one.
I assumed. The Rani. Rani? We'll see.
The Rani.
There we go. One blue, black, red for a 3/4 Time Lord Scientist. Whenever the Rani enters the battlefield or attacks, create a red aura enchantment token named Mark of the Rani attached to another target creature. That token has enchant creature, and enchanted creature gets +2/+2 and is goaded. Whenever a goaded creature deals combat damage to one of your opponents, investigate. Cool.
That is so fun.
Cool. That's really fun.
Oh my gosh. You're just going to start handing out all these auras. Everything's going to be pumped and goaded.
Things are going to be strong and attack other people.
You've left your mark on the board. And whenever a goaded creature deals combat damage to an opponent, you investigate.
So many clues. Very cool.
Wow. Such a cool wow.
I think my only problem with the decks that thrive off of goad is because if you do the thing right, eventually you have one person that just says, well, just me and you now. And you go, oh, yeah.
Right. And as a quick reminder, very good point, Mike. The way that goad works, it has two requirements for combat. The first is that creature must attack each combat a fable, and it must attack somebody other than the person who goaded it a fable. If one of those rules is not possible to be fulfilled, then they don't have to follow it. And especially right. That happens during heads up 1v1. When it's just you and them, and if you goad it, well, it still has to attack, but now it's going to attack you.
It's very cool. I like this.
All right.
Mike.
let's talk about what might just be, if our listeners desire it, a deck tech worthy commander here. The Veilyard. For 2BR. And I don't know. I'm not going to say anything about me building this because every time I say that, I never do. But
no,
if I were to build anything from this set, it's probably this.
Yeah.
So for 5 mana, legendary creature Time Lord Noble, if an opponent would face a villainous choice, they face that choice an additional time.
Okay.
And as a reminder, they can make the same choice or change their choice. While voting, you may vote an additional time.
Uh-huh. Like,
this is a political choices enabler commander. And let me tell you right now, it's probably in the right colors for it.
Yeah, shocker that its types are Time Lord and Noble.
Yeah, I mean, at least it's not Advisor. Ooh.
Right.
Time Lord Advisor. No one else gets to play, and you win.
So,
wow.
We'd really have to go back to the 99 to talk about all of the
choices that we like. I remember the last time that we talked about voting cards, I was like, man. I wish we had a voting commander because when we reviewed EDH Rec way back, like 3 years ago, we were looking at the voting commanders, and there were like three of them, right. And one of them was a Laura. We're like, this is not a very good selection.
Right.
But now we have all these new voting cards and this new voting commander, Mike.
Pretty cool. I like this. It's anytime that it's a, hey, it's going to cost you a bit, but the entire thing that it does is it just do it again. Right?
That's true. Like, you don't need this card for your deck to work, right. But once it's out, your whole deck works better.
It's the same thing we talked about with Adric. What are you doing? I would like to do more of that. Cool. We're starting and ending the same way. Doing things twice that you would normally do once in Commander, pretty cool. Wow. Okay.
The most damning is still to come, and when I have finished, this court will demand your life.
That's pretty aggressive, Alex.
Mike, this is a 49-cent commander. Oh, nobody cares about this at all. It's a flavor text. I care about this.
Okay. That makes me feel better. I was worried. I thought you were just yelling at me. Now I know you're not.
No, that was the flavor
text. Yes. I've caught up. We're good now. Okay, Alex.
Mike.
Hard question here.
Which commander is my
favorite? I'll tell you what. Let's do this. Each of us gets two.
Okay.
Because we're talking about a lot of different colors doing a lot of different things. And I know I'm going to surprise you. Because I
know I'm not going to surprise
you. Yeah. One of yours, that's why we're doing two. Because what? Right. You've already said it.
Well, I have the Valeyard and the 12th Doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the Valeyard a lot. I think as much as I like Dugan, it's very funny to me. It's a very funny commander.
He's going
to
hit you with a chair, Mike.
Which that's my biggest problem. It's them holding a chair, but it's the most important punch in history. So
yeah, but that chair's made out of, like,
fists?
Collapsed core of a neutron star.
I guess so. That said, I love Sergeant John Benton. I really like it.
Yes, very cool idea for a card.
Missy is dope.
Missy is so cool.
But that said, I think the one that I want to make the most right now is River Song. Just because it's the most weird way for me to play Magic that I've never played before.
River Song is so cool. Now, I have seen many episodes with her in it. I believe that just based on that and based on what this is saying, that she experiences time in reverse.
Yes.
Effectively. So she's drawing from the bottom. She's meeting for the first time, meeting in reverse.
Well,
and spoilers, she knows the future.
Well, yes, that, but like, okay. This is me having no real context for Doctor Who, okay? I know a little bit based off of, like, clips, but let's talk about the fact that the wedding of River Song, where she's getting married, with the time travel, with the thing where you're talking about suspending things with time counters, and knowing things, and the Doctor knowing things at time, that's pretty cool as far as this diary and all this other stuff. All right, River Song, I might have to do some research into this.
This is such a cool commander.
Yeah. This is a cool set.
Listeners, we talked about so many interesting and unique and just social commanders. What was your favorite commander from this set? Did we even talk about it?
Yeah, and if not, let us know. You know what? When we post podcasts, there is the ability to put a poll in the question. Maybe I will figure out how to just, like, hey, give me a comment.
Maybe.
Fill in the blank there.
But, Mike, maybe we talked about a commander that they want to buy.
Yeah.
Do we have a way for that to happen?
So if you'd like, you can go to bit.ly/EDH_social. And from there, you will be taken to our TCG player link. And hey, all of the cards that we talked about, ways to protect them, things along those lines, you can get all of that stuff that we would love for you to get and make your cool decks and everything around it. And it also goes to benefit us a little bit as possible. And that'd be great.
But what if they pick their commander? They bought it through our TCG player link, but they want to brew it. But they need to pick somebody's brain.
Oh, sure.
And not just somebody who's like, stick a bunch of kill spells in there
stuff.
And make
somebody.
Right, exactly. No, that's boring. What if you wanted to talk to somebody who really knows what you're into, that social contract stuff? Where could they go?
Well, they can go ahead to the show link in the notes. You can go into our Discord link. And from there, you can talk with all the people that like to talk to us and talk to each other about all the stuff that we like to talk about, which is all the stuff that you just heard. And a lot more stuff, let's be real. I mean, heck, we finally added an off-topic channel.
We did.
Because
and people,
we just enjoy talking with each other. So
but
why
Mike,
not?
What if... What if?
What if?
They see one of these commanders.
Yeah.
And they don't want to build it. Or maybe they do want to build it, but they want us to talk about it. Or maybe they don't want to build it. They want us to build it for them. And then maybe, you know, sign their missy or include a fun photo of Mike geeking out over this awesome
stuff.
Sure. What if they want to be directly involved with an episode of the show and maybe come away with some goodies?
Absolutely.
Is there a way that they could do that?
Yeah, the best way to support the show is by going to patreon.com/socialcontractEDH or search for the social contract in the bar at the homepage. There's a lot of different tiers that you can be involved in that help directly support the show. But at our higher tiers, you absolutely get to choose topics, including, not limited to, the idea of us building a deck specifically around a commander that you're looking for. So you got
that if you put that money down and you say, Mike, make a Missy deck, but make it this way, we'll say, yes, sir.
We won't. If you tell me to make.
You say jump, we say how
high. You tell me to make a deck, I will do it. You tell me to make a powerful deck, I will say, sure.
You want to send us your Missy deck and we talk about how cool it is on the air, we can do that.
I do like this. Such a good look. Alex, if anybody wanted to ask you any questions about some of the rules on this and what the heck is Chaos Ensues, like I did, etc.
Mike saw Chaos Ensues, I think his brain
imploded. I got very excited because those are keywords that I wasn't ready for.
What is that? I mean, you want to ask us to do a plane chase episode or a deck tech? Just hit me up on Twitter, LAPPERMEDIC, Lappermedic. Or you can check out my other project, the CommanderSpellbook.com website, and look at all these powerful infinite combo lines you can do with these Doctor Who cards. Mm-hmm. Or maybe input your new Missy deck list and see what infinite combos you have or could have. Because we have a feature that not only allows you to visualize the combos in your deck on the spot, but we will also help you add or remove combos from your deck as you please.
Alex, I had a very fun time talking about all this with you.
Mike, this set might be one of the best sets we've had in a long time, and we just had a Lord of the Rings set a couple of months ago.
Yep. I'm very tired.
I mean, it's, some people complaining about Universes Beyond is like, oh, this is... Honestly, it seems like Universes Beyond, they're picking some of the coolest and most flavorful political and social stuff, and this is just a renaissance of politics for us,
Mike. Yeah, well, and think about it this way. It's a very cool way of... It's very hard to be creative 100% of the time, to build from scratch on everything.
Yes.
But how about instead of that, it's, hey, let's take this cool concept that already exists and has a big world and a lot to draw from, and we reskin it to stuff that's cool and mean, great flavor wins and all that other jazz that we
talk about.
Yeah,
and that's really great for the people who are fans of that IP, right?
Yeah.
People... I think that there's quite a sizable Doctor Who fandom online. And the interesting thing about it is it's very much like James Bond or indeed Lupin the Third, these extremely long protracted IPs that are being handed off to different actors, different directors, different storytellers. And so they're each telling their own stories through their own lens. And the result is that you get this very rich tapestry of stories in a universe. And people can enjoy individual aspects from them and dislike others. I like the 10th Doctor. I like the 5th Doctor. Very unique concept. And hopefully there's something that we talked about today that really tickled you.
Yeah. Same time. I don't know barely anything when it comes to Doctor Who. But
I know a small amount.
But I got kind of interested in a couple of things based off the card. So, hey, cool. What do you know? Marketing works. Until next time. When it's probably not a three-four episode set based off of what we're talking about, but
no, we have a lot of stuff in the pipeline, yeah. And I think that there are many patrons we have that it's not that we owe them a favor; it's that they haven't decided how we're going to thank them yet.
Yeah.
So, patrons, if you're listening and you heard something on this episode or maybe one of our previous episodes that's like, "Wow, I got to see that," or "They have to build that," or "I have to build that," and then tell them to talk about it. Let's do it. Let's make it happen.
Admittedly, there's a couple in there that have a very good idea. And we go, yes, that's an awesome idea. And then my life gets in the way. But presuming that that doesn't happen in the immediate future here, and we can do some really cool stuff and talk about really cool things, look forward to it. Until then, we'll talk to you soon.